The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, John Fardy is perhaps one of the best known broadcasters in Ireland for the presenter of Screen Time. He's now joining me because we want to talk about, from red carpets to campaign trails, some of the actors and actresses who just can't resist the political spotlight. And it seems there are quite 16 pages of a brief here in front of me. Good morning, John.
Hello. I didn't write that brief. I know that you like them kept really short, you know. And I'm sure somewhere you saw my name on the running order and you said to the production team, slow news day, what folks? But anyway, thank you for the introduction.
That's exactly the thought that crossed my mind. But it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Let's start with one of the most prominent current politicians, Zelensky.
Yeah. So the thing is, he was like one of the most famous people in Ukraine, was a comedian and an actor. And in a bizarre and almost tragic way of life imitating art, or art imitating life, you might say, he actually played a fictional president of Ukraine in a highly popular Ukrainian show. And, you know, you probably know this better than I do, but when it comes to politics, there is definitely a performative dimension, let's say. So many believe, and you probably concur with this, that, you know, being an actor in plenty of ways is probably good training for being a politician, because it's, you know, there is an acting dimension. Wouldn't you agree to an extent?
Oh, absolutely. It's show business. Politics is show business for ugly people, as is radio. And the fact of the matter is that there is a performance element. When you're trying to persuade people, charm people, there is absolutely, you know, bringing public opinion with you. So you actually have 25 actors who became politicians. Now, I was looking through them. Some of them actually weren't that successful, but most of them are stateside. Let's start with Arnie. I've read his biography and it's actually quite motivational. He speaks, you know, this guy started in Austria, perhaps badly treated by his dad. He got into bodybuilding. He emigrated to the States. And he not only became a world global phenomenon for bodybuilding, but then became governor, didn't he?
Yeah, governor of California twice. And, you know, whatever you think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, his life's journey is so unique. As you say, he had this father, he had a strange relationship, but he wasn't very nice to him, and he became obsessed with bodybuilding. And people don't realize that before he got into acting, he'd become quite successful with property investments. So in a way, when he went into acting, he realized he could fail, because he was up against a lot of challenges. When he came to the States in the late 70s, he was told he could never be an actor because his accent was so strong. And yet he defied the odds to become at one point the biggest Hollywood star in terms of box office, you know. And some people argue about, you know, the talent of his acting, and people play his best role ever was when he played a robot in Terminator. But you have to take your hat off to how successful he was as an actor, despite the sometimes dodgy quality of the movies. And when it came to his political life, there was a similar aspiration and a similar sense of him feeling he didn't belong and he wanted to show them wrong. And he certainly did. And when you look at those two terms, there were plenty of successes. And in his defense, he seemed to be quite, you know, he played to political expediency, and he didn't care what side of the house you were on, be it Democrat or Republican. Now, it didn't end very well, and there was a lot of debt, and he has a very low approval rating over the 8 years, I think it was, as his term. But he certainly defied the odds, and to get reelected a second time, he must have done something mildly right, you would have to say.
Now, I think perhaps the most successful actor turned politician is Ronnie Reagan.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And, you know, there's in Back to the Future, when Michael J. Fox goes back and sees Doc Brown and he tells him Reagan is president, he goes, "What, the actor? Are you absurd?" Like, it did seem absurd. And in a way, you can trace so much of politicians or actors becoming politicians back to Reagan, because Reagan was a massive star. He'd been in the military as well. He was a good old American boy in westerns and war movies and kind of a dashing looking guy as a leading man. And then, you know, went on to become, you know, the defining political character of the 1980s. I mean, there was an era, as you well know, named after him, you know, the Reagan era, Reaganomics. He's, you know, some would say the architect or the continuing architect of the Cold War all through the 80s. And again, political legacy, it's open to all sorts of interpretations, but he did, you know, do it twice, and to be elected twice is no easy feat in America, as you well know. And he certainly brought that acting, you know, charm, for want of a better phrase, to his politics, because again, despite what you think of him, he was a great orator, and he gave some famous speeches and got the kind of idea of a pithy quote that he probably learned acting, you know, tear down that wall, you know, all these quotes he was famous for. Now, he got, you know, plenty of things wrong in speeches, most notably when he started talking about being born in the USA after Bruce Springsteen, and Bruce Springsteen was having none of it. So it wasn't all plain sailing, but he was certainly a performative politician. You'd have to say acting served him well.
Yeah, and of course he came to Ireland. My favorite,
Ballyhadarine was
Ballyporeen.
Ballyporeen.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah, and of course you're a lot younger than me. But the point about it is that
considerably younger. Yes.
My favorite Reagan quote is he was in his late 70s. He was very elderly, and he wore a wig, and you'd hardly know it was a wig. And someone asked him, "President, what color is your hair?" And he said, "Well, it's the same colour as the day I bought it." So he was he could use kind of self-deprecating humour. Now,
meet him, incidentally?
I put it like I waved at him, like I wasn't up close and personal, to be honest with you. That was all in the 80s, I remember as well. Now, I see you've put Donald Trump on your list. Now, I get the Apprentice thing, but did he ever act?
No, he was cameoed. He played himself just about in everything he ever did. Now, he was in a couple of things: Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Zoolander, The Little Rascals. And when he was in those movies in the 90s, there was a different sense of him. He was seen as this kind of, you know, funny media mogul, or not media mogul, property mogul. And he was kind of, you know, I don't want to say an adored character, because that's overstating. Plenty of people didn't like him. But in the 90s, he had a more benign presence, certainly on the East Coast, that he seemed like the type of guy you might want in a movie as a cameo to lift it almost. Now, then there was The Apprentice and all, and the car crash of what that became. But, you know, I was talking to the director of the new Joker movie only a couple of weeks ago. Just, you know, I like to name drop on Screen Time whenever I can. And I know
that brilliant program. It goes out, well, it's on the podcast from Friday evening. It goes out what time?
6 o'clock on Saturday. I thought I tattooed that on your arm the last time we spoke, you know. Yeah, I won't get into all the big stars on it this week. But what I was going to say to you was, I was talking to the director of the last two Joker movies. And, you know, he was saying in a way that Trump invented character politics, because the Joker is a bit like Trump in the new movie. And that, you know, in a way, Trump has probably ushered in more of this kind of thing that we're going to see. The idea that a character, an actor, could become president. That's certainly his take. And you can see the logic in that it's, you know, some people claim with Trump it's hard to tell, you know, where the character and the real person begins, or if there is even one.
Now, there's a lot caught my eye in the list of 63 that you gave me. most of them are stateside, but Al Murray is not.
No, the pub landlord, a very funny guy, and of course a previous guest on Screen Time. How could he not be, says you, Ivan? But yeah, he ran, because despite, you know, the pub landlord is kind of, you know, it's a parody, I suppose, of severe British nationalism and stuff like that. And he ran against Nigel Farage. Now, he did okay. He certainly beat, you know, I don't think he was ever going to get elected, but he got 318 votes more than candidates from like the Socialist Party, the BNP Party, the Communist Party. So it was, I suppose, an act of defiance as opposed to a serious political ambition. But I suppose that goes back to you remembering the 80s, the monster Ravy Looley party and things like that. It was probably that kind of thing. I don't think he was ever serious about politics. We have to mention Clint Eastwood, if there's time.
Yeah, we do. Thank you.
So Clint Eastwood, you know, he's interesting politically where he's been in the years, because he's been a supporter of different kinds of people, but famously was at a rally for McCain. And when Obama was looking for his second term in office and did this, you should YouTube it, this bizarre thing where he addressed an absent Barack Obama, spoke to him in a chair, like it was some kind of therapy session. It was really, really strange. But he was mayor of Carmel in California, this very nice coastal town, for 2 years because he was so annoyed by some of the bylaws. There was stuff about you couldn't eat ice cream on the street and where you could park your car on Sundays. And he successfully ran and by all accounts was a pretty good mayor for the 2 years that he was there.
Someone, Andrew, texted in, tell John. And you see, this is what I've come to expect. You know, John's a lovely guy. I'm very fond of him. And he produces Bobby Kerr and makes him look good. Tell John, says Andrew, Reagan wasn't the architect of the Cold War. He was instrumental in ending it. How do you plead? Guilty as charged, John?
He was definitely involved in ending it. Absolutely. Probably more than any other politician.
Anything decent? Anyone important?
He did keep it going longer than it should have. Lots of important stuff. We have this week on the show, Christopher Reeve's three children. Believe it or not, there's a new documentary all about this.
Right, would you care? Carry on.
And of course, the new Irish movie, Small Things Like These. I have the writer, screenwriter, the great playwright, Enda Walsh. And can I just say, the next time we're on, what I'd love to do is look at politicians who became radio presenters and even TV presenters, particularly in the Wexford area. I think there's a lot. Quality, we could get hours out of that, you know.
All right, John Fardy. And where are you tomorrow? Are you with Bobby tomorrow?
I am indeed. And then later on in the day, I'll be talking to Olivia Colman about the new Paddington movie. So, you know, it's all sunshine in this corner of the world, Ivan.
There you have it. John Fardy, living the dream. Thank you. Right. Thank you. Always good, Greg, John. You know, he has a master's in psychology or bullology or something like that. Philosophy it is. So he's a good sense of humour.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.